My family moved to California from Texas. And like all other Texans, I guess, that came to California, we were coming for 3 months, and we were going to go back home, and we never went back to Texas. And my parents started working and doing farm work, primarily in the Porterville area, picking oranges, picking tomatoes, apricots, I mean, you name it, plums in the area. And then we started following the crops up and down California. We would go up to Yuba City and Vernales and so on. The conditions at that time were just deplorable. I was 10 when we first started working, doing farm work, and all of the families would go and work together. And that's what my father was talking about earlier, that it was family unity like there isn't now, but it was also very deplorable working conditions. For example, you didn't have time off for lunch. There were no breaks. If you were working by the hour, they would have like one big bucket basically of water. Everyone drank out of that bucket. They'd have like a dipper. It was rusted. That's what you had to drink water if you wanted it. If you needed time off because you needed to go to the bathroom, you had to take someone with you, like I take my sister, so that we could go off into the woods, go behind some tree somewhere, and have her stand guard and say, don't let anyone come near, warn me. And, you know, little kids, myself included, for example, by age 12, we were carrying very heavy ladders, putting the ladders up against the trees, picking oranges, carrying heavy bags that no child should have to do. The children were all lying about their age because then if you didn't, you weren't hired to work by the hour. And so that was very important. So everyone's kids were lying about the age to be able to work. Of course, the employers didn't really care as long as the work got done. There were no, we'd be working in the trees picking oranges. The crop dusters would come overhead. They'd spray the trees. There was no concern for the health and the welfare of the children, of the women, of anyone there. All of us here know of all of the deaths of little children, 1-year-old, 2-year-old, who the parents would be working, the mother would go up in the tree, keeping an eye on the child, and the first moment she didn't look, the child wandered off and was killed. And I knew many children like that. I mean, my mother was so terrified something would happen to, not me, I was the oldest, but certainly my brothers and sisters. These were just a very small portion of the types of working conditions that existed in the early 60s, right before Cesar Chavez started organizing the farm workers. And it was Cesar Chavez started going to each individual, notwithstanding what an outstanding leader he was, he didn't have to do that. And I think that's why he got the support of everyone. I mean, that is certainly one of the reasons that everyone felt like Cesar Chavez was their friend. We all felt like he knows who I am, he knows all about me, he's my personal friend. And that was one of the greatest qualities that he had, and that everyone wanted to work totally selflessly because they understood what he was about and they understood his message. And the message was he wanted to improve the working conditions. He wanted the farm workers to get a better salary, but he wanted much more than that. His dream wasn't just to pay someone an extra 25 cents an hour. I mean, that was what he would dangle in front of individuals saying, look, you're gonna get paid more money. But really, the dream that he was offering was, everyone's life is going to get better if we join together and we work together. And I was definitely inspired by his dream. And I met Cesar Chavez when I was 13 years old because I worked in the local office, the union office in Porterville. And I was always very big for my age. Everyone thought I was a lot older, and I was in charge of the office, so I used to pump the gas for the members. I used to take the orders for the oil, for the tires. I used to collect the money for the union dues, and we'd have the meetings in that little office. The office was paid by the migrant ministry. Jim Drake was the head in Porterville, And Jim Drake would have me, he would say I was a secretary, and I believed him. And I could only type with two fingers, but I would get the letters done. He told me that I could do it, and I said, I guess he knows what he's talking about. And Jim Drake certainly inspired me. And then that local group joined the union. At that time, it was the NFWA, the National Farm Workers Association. And my father was the head of that local group that had been organized by Jim Drake. And then we joined the union and came to Delano. We came to every Friday meeting, and it was even though I was very young at the time, a part of me wanted to go to the football games at the high school and go to the dances, but frankly, my father gave me no choice. He said I was his secretary, and I had to come to the meetings to translate for him. And at the meetings, I was actually asked by Cesar Chavez to help translate, and I had never done that before, and it was just such a thrill for me to be able to do that. And I think back now, I mean, my memories of those meetings are just amazing. I mean, these senators would come and they'd speak, and it was funny because since I was not really an official interpreter, I didn't feel I had any obligation to translate word for word. So I would ad lib and do editorializing, and of course, a lot of the senators would say, why is everybody laughing? I didn't really say anything funny. And I'd say, I don't know, they have a different sense of humor. But I would kind of throw things in at the end as to whether I believed or didn't believe some of the promises that they were making. So I have very, very wonderful memories of those times. And even now, as I sit here today, I mean, I think of sitting in between Larry Edelong and Cesar Chavez, and it's the dream of a lifetime, definitely. And I experienced it, I lived it, I was there. And it was just the greatest privilege for me. And we were talking about the Teatro Campesino. I mean, I don't know if the people who were in the teatro, Carolina, you know, Agustin, if they realized just how powerful the work that they did was and how uplifting that really was. I was so young and I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait for the meeting to be over because the Teatro Campesino was going to come out, and it was, who's gonna be the Esquirol? And who's gonna be the Patron? Yeah, and who's gonna be the Huelguista? And it was just so uplifting. The Coyote, who's gonna be the Coyote? And they, you guys were just so amazing. I mean, it was a new way of doing drama that that you could do extemporaneous, and it was so amazing. And you always had a message, and the message was just crystal clear to everyone that was there. And when we walked out of that meeting after four long hours of hearing people speak, and the news and what was happening, everyone walked out with a lighter step. With not just a desire to do more work, but this feeling that they had contributed, and this feeling that we're really getting somewhere. It's like the load was lighter when we walked out of those meetings, and I'm not sure that you guys even realized how significant the work that you were doing was. And to this day, I remember you guys. I can close my eyes and see all of you doing your performances and the messages that you were getting across. You guys were really amazing. You guys were all just funny. They were so funny. It was just amazing. And you know, I lived the experience, but I'll tell you something else that I got out of the union, which some of you, you know, may not realize if you don't speak to some of the people that have gone on and moved away. Something that I got out of it was just this huge pride in being Mexicana, pride in being a farm worker. You know, one of the things that my father taught me, and he taught it to me very graphically, he would always tell us, whatever whatever you choose to do with your life, that's your choice, but be proud of it. Doesn't matter what you do. If you want to be a farm worker, that's okay. You can be a farm worker. Be the best darn farm worker that you can be. If you're going to pick oranges, be the best orange picker that you can be. And don't ever be ashamed of what you do. And he taught that to us graphically. What he would do, we were picking grapes one time. We didn't like to pick grapes very much because, as those of you who pick grapes know, you just, at the end of the day, you look totally black. You know, you get the pesticides, the sweat, the dirt, the grime, and then if you're unlucky like me, for some reason, I think that the bees really liked me or something. I got stung 3 times in one day. And you know, you're bending down, you're carrying things. It is the worst drudge work of farm labor, in my opinion. I used to tell my dad, "Dad, we're too tall to be bending down like that. Let's stick to the orange trees, okay?" And we would get back the end of the day, toiling in the fields all day. We would be covered with white, you know, on the scarves because of the pesticides. Our faces would be black, and you didn't even want to drink water because you knew you were going to get mud around your mouth, right, from all the dirt. And he would drive down Main Street, and we would say, "Dad, my friends are going to see me." And he'd say, "And what is it that they're going to see that they don't know? Don't they know you're a farm worker?" "Well, yeah." "Well, so what is it that they're going to see that would make you ashamed? We just finished working. You did a great job. You helped your family to survive. We're going to get paid for honest work. You should be proud to go down Main Street and let your friends see that you are someone who is working and that you are someone that is contributing to your family." And it made a lot of sense to me. And he taught these kinds of lessons to us throughout our lives. And as a result of that, and as a result of my experiences in the union, as a result of knowing all of you people and seeing how hard you worked and how selfless you all were, all of you, you'd work, hard days work, and you still had the energy to go to the meetings. You still had the energy to go out on the picket line. You still had the energy to devote your lives to your families, to cook, to carry on, to do everything else. It's like, how did you people have the energy? And it's like Augie was saying earlier, you know, like, if they can do it, I can do it. And you know, you inspired so many people by doing that. I would look at you and say, "Gosh, I'm 13, 15. I don't have the energy to do that. But if they have it, I guess I have it too." And it would just make me work that much harder.